Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hey, what's up, everybody? It's Dirt. Want to thank you for taking some time out to listen to the podcast of our show, brought to you by Les Schwab Tires, doing the right thing since 1952.
Live from Langdon Farms Golf Club, this is a special edition of Dirt and Spray.
Well, just snake a tube down her nose, and I'll be there in 4 or 5 hours.
Cooney Lexus of Portland presents the 7th Annual Fan Golf Classic. Brought to you by Pelican Brewing, Stark Street Lawn and Garden, by Washman Car Wash, Rebel Yell Bourbon, Biggs Chicken, by Encore Audio Video, Warren Allen Attorneys at Law, United Cerebral Palsy of Oregon, by Vacasa, The Children's Course, 808, Baseballism, by Pearl Vodka, 1-800-DIVORCE, Discount Windows, Laurelhurst Market, and by Big Fat Wieners. Dirt and Sprague on 1080.
Oh, darling, I'm hot today.
The Fan.
Hey, let's do this. Welcome back in. Final hour, Dirt and Sprague, live out at Langdon Farms, the 7th Annual Fan Golf Classic. The course looks absolutely amazing. Can't wait to get out and play it tomorrow morning.
God, we get the same weather.
Yeah. Tomorrow looks like it's going to hold on. I think Wednesday it's supposed to start raining.
Maybe that's what I saw. I thought it was going to rain tomorrow. I was a little worried about that.
So as of right now, I think we're okay. We had a group of listeners go off this morning. They all had a great time. A lot of them stopped by and said hello, and now we have the second round of listeners going off this afternoon. They all teed off about an hour ago. So they're going to have a fun afternoon and evening, and as will the listeners tomorrow.
I've got good news for you.
What do you got?
I can't guarantee this, but I'm fairly confident. So the Big Fat Wiener truck is here.
Yes, it is. It always parks right next to us, and then we just waft Big Fat Wieners the entire show.
Yeah, and then Swag always comes over with a good-looking one. I still have to pay off a bet.
You do?
He volunteered a long time ago to make a hot dog.
This is a great idea.
I might go talk to him right after the show.
Yeah. We'll do it tomorrow.
And see if he'll make one for tomorrow's show. Now, I don't know if I want to eat a whole hot dog, but I'll go half a hot dog. He could load it up with as much hot crap as he wants.
Yeah. Okay. I like this.
And I might pay that off tomorrow, because, you know, tomorrow's show is going to be us half drunk. Maybe stumbling in here.
Easy. You speak for yourself.
No, we're not drunk. I'm just playing. We're having a good round. Yeah, that's water in that cup. That's not vodka. What are you talking about? And we come in. We have a good time. It's a good show. It's a lot of fun, and we kind of go segment to segment. But that might be something we have to do, is hanging out tomorrow after our round of golf. I pay off the Civil War bet, and I eat a fat, hot wiener.
Okay. I like this.
Okay.
This is a great idea. Yeah, all right, we'll do that tomorrow. So hopefully you guys are coming out today or tomorrow. Say what's up. We're having a great time out here. Big news of the day, the Blazers did something.
I think that stick gets poking. Do something.
They did something. I want to get back to that in a moment. Let's, though, first hear from the eloquent and outspoken newest member of the team, or I guess no longer the newest member of the team, but the second newest member of the team, Nazir Little. He was introduced today. This got overshadowed by a trade. By the way, somebody, I think it was Sean Michael Meager, that had the tweet saying, well, Shea, kind of sly. He had the press conference this morning introducing the new rookie, all while knowing this trade was going to hit the fan.
Yeah, this idiot had already been agreed upon, or he knew they were pretty close to this being a done deal.
It'd be funny if he broke his own news. He just went Woj in the presser. Hey, by the way, in an hour, we're trading for Kent Bazemore. But Nazir Little had a couple of things to say. Let's rattle through these. It sounds like they're not very long. Here is Nazir Little on his dedicated workout schedule.
I mean, for me, it was just, you know, I'm a perfectionist. I want to be as good as possible at anything I put my time into. And, you know, basketball is fun when you're good at it. So, you know, that was my main purpose for that.
Yeah, he supposedly works out. He worked out every day at North Carolina at 4 a.m.
He never changed
his schedule.
Anything's fun in life if you're good at it.
I know we're going to have some fun here, that he doesn't talk longer than 10 seconds. And that's fine. Like, we don't have to interview him on the radio show because we know his answers might not be great. But that doesn't matter. If I think this kid is a hard worker, and he's coming in with the right attitude, that's what I care about the most. That is going to be so huge and beneficial for Portland. He might be able to crack the rotation this year if he can have his S together and he's mentally and mature enough and ready to go.
You could be LaMarcus Aldridge and drop nothing but your nose for 10 straight minutes, but if you're an all-star, I don't care, man.
You know, you're right.
He also had this. So he was a freshman last year, kind of a big phenom coming in, one of the highest-rated recruits in the country. Didn't start just because of the way the roster worked. And the numbers weren't great, but still eventually ended up being a first-round pick. Here he is on his year at UNC and struggling.
I mean, for me, it was just trying to get through the year in the best way possible. Just being productive as possible in the minutes I was given. But it was a struggle, and there was up and downs. But, you know, for me, kind of person I am, you know, I'm going to get through the storm. And I already know it's going to be green on the other side. So, you know, just stay positive and got through that time. And, you know, I'm here today.
That's a tough part, really, I think, about drafting in this era. Is it's so hard to analyze guys that as you go to a big program like that. Like it's, the kid's 18 years old, 19 years
yeah.
old, and he's behind a couple of veterans or guys that just fit the system a little bit better. He doesn't pop for 20 points per game, and now it's we have to act like, you know, this whole struggle of how does he overcome his – he's 19 years old, man. He's going to be fine. Give him time to develop. He, like Zach Collins, might end up being a guy that you look back on and say, man, probably could have used another year in college. But at least the one difference he has with Collins, the difference he has is his body's ready for the NBA. Like
yeah.
Collins came to the NBA, and it's like you could see the skill was there, but how is he going to hang with NBA big guys when he's that skinny and frail? You don't have that problem with Nazir Little.
I had a coach once tell me that if they get drafted in the first round, they didn't make a mistake.
Yeah.
And I think ultimately they're right. Like, even Collins, right? Like, we can all agree Collins would have been a beast at Gonzaga if he came one more year. And maybe his stock goes up more than top 10.
Yeah, who is that big Polish center they had?
That
they went the year they went to the Final Four?
Oh, what was that guy's name? The fat, tall guy for Gonzaga swag who played
started
on Gonzaga's
ahead
Final,
Collins.
Final Four team. He was there for
Shemek Karnowski.
Shemek
yeah.
Karnowski.
That guy would have been gone. Collins would have been the
right.
starting five.
And,
yeah.
And there's no doubt about that. But he was a top 10 pick. Like, you can't really say he right. made the bad decision. He just needs to develop time within the NBA, and we see what that can ultimately be. But like, the North Carolina thing is interesting in this. You got to think that is a five-star hub, right? They're all five stars. And he's coming onto a team that has some guys returning mixed with some other young players who ended up being just more ready in the moment. I don't think it has to be an indictment that he only played 18 minutes and that he wasn't maybe picking up some schemes in certain circumstance. I would more view it as a mixed bag. Like, clearly wasn't ready, and maybe now he learned from that. And also, Roy Williams has to win games. He's not paid to go yeah. there and pamper a five-star and go, yeah, I'm going to play you 29 minutes tonight. Because I know you need it as a five-star. He's going to put out the guys that play the best and give them the best chance to win games. That's why he's paid yeah. as much as he is. So it's always a mixed bag with these kids. It doesn't always have to be an indictment on them and mean that they can't get better and that they can't surprise everybody. Jay Billis is somebody I respect tremendously. All he talked about was how that dude was falling and he couldn't believe it.
Yeah,
I'm going to take that and hope that the Blazer staff can continue to help him get ready for what this rookie year is going to be for him.
Yeah, with you there. And then now he's coming into that first year, and everybody's kind of just wondering, how will he fit? I mean, we haven't really seen many rookies play significant minutes in Portland. You just look most recently, Anfernee Simons, a similar case of a late first-round pick. He played, what, maybe 10 games last year, and 9 of them were garbage time, and then he only played in game 82 because they called off the dogs and they wanted to rest guys going into the postseason. So here is Nazir Little about just his goals for his rookie season.
No, not specifically. I mean, for me, it's just trying to get acclimated, get in the best shape possible. You know, you just kind of get adapted to the team. And then from there, you know, I started doing things like that.
Yeah, the interesting part about him coming in right away is being physically ready. Because, you know, Anfernee Simons last year, he has skill. He's a lot like Collins in that regard. But you look at him, and he doesn't quite have the NBA body yet as a young kid
right.
who just hasn't developed physically. And that's where I'm wondering if it ends up being any different. I don't know how much he's going to play this year. We're going to get our first glimpse at him coming up in a couple of weeks when Summer League officially starts, and we'll see how he adjusts just initially to the Summer League roster and the Summer League competition. But when you bring a guy in like that that has the body and the wingspan of an NBA player, I do wonder if it's any different in year one for Terry Stotts in terms of playing time because he rarely plays rookies.
Well, I mean, what's the one thing we got from Neil Olshey was that Anfernee Simons is probably going to be in the rotation and play, right?
In year two, yep.
In year two, if Nazir Little can really come to camp locked in, And he may not understand everything that they run, but if he can show that, man, you put me out there, I'm going to work my tail off, I'm going to create and make havoc defensively. I mean, unless they make another trade, I really don't get what else is Stotts going to do. Like, who does he go to?
Yeah.
Because if this is going to be your team, and you'll get a mid-level guy that comes in there as well, but we
mid-level
don't know.
Mid-level and Aminu's going right. to be back. We know that.
Imagine maybe they go get a point guard for the cheap, because if you don't, you basically Simons is your backup.
Yeah, they're going to find Curry 2.0 this year. You
sure.
go get somebody on that super minimum contract.
Little could find a way to play 8 to 9 minutes this year. That's not out of the realm of possibility to me. And that's kind of about right for him. I think he can go out there. Maybe he has a game or two where he blows everybody away and he plays 18 minutes and gives you something and you go, holy crap, this rookie's going to be great too with Simons and Collins. But for the most part, I don't think it has to be the same as it has been in the past. And depending on the roster, we'll see how Stotts feels about that come training camp time.
Well, let's stick with Portland because they made another move today, or they made a move, I should say, today. And they picked up a new player, Evan Turner, who has been a guy that Blazer fans – have had no problem sharing their opinions on the last couple of years, is finally gone. He has been traded to Atlanta for Kent Bazemore. What do you make of the move? 55305 is the bet of you today. Text line, we have a poll question on it as well. We'll talk Kent Bazemore in a Blazer uniform next on The Fan.
You're listening to Dirt and Sprague as Cooney Lexus of Portland presents the 7th Annual Fan Golf Classic at Langdon Farms Golf Club. Brought to you by Encore Audio Video, Warren Allen Attorneys at Law, United Cerebral Palsy of Oregon, by Vicasa, the Children's Course, and by 808. Dirt and Sprague on 1080, The Fan.
Hey, welcome back in 216, live out here at Langdon Farms, 7th Annual Fan Golf Classic. Having a great time. Big news about an hour ago, Blazers made a trade. Kent Bazemore coming to Portland for Evan Turner. That was the move that happened, and everybody's been reacting to it ever since. I did see this on Twitter, as everybody's had differing opinions on it. We'll share ours again. We got a poll question on it as well. Eric Griffith, who I believe you had on when I was on vacation, Blazers edge writer.
No. Well, last one, but the one before.
He had this just on the analogy, tweeted this out on the trade between the two guys financially. He says it's harder to unlock the full mid-level exception for Portland because of the extra 660,000.
Difference.
663,000 that Bazemore makes than Evan Turner. But it doesn't mean that that is outside the realm of possibility. You indicate, or Woj indicates, that Hood can't be re-signed because he's going to be offered too much money. So this is essentially, as Woj pointed out as well, the replacement for Rodney Hood. I also thought it was interesting he noted that the extra $663,000 for Kent Bazemore will bring a luxury tax bill of something in the neighborhood of $1.66 million in for Portland, an increase. So they are showing a willingness to spend, and that is a tax bill that you're going to have the ownership on the hook for.
But
there.
They're not a repeater, right? So this year they wouldn't be a repeater, so that would happen, and they wouldn't get hit with the repeater tax.
Right. It's just the luxury tax bill they'll have for being over the luxury tax. Now, in terms of if you want a bigger move to happen or something else, or is this a part of something larger, he cannot be traded as a part of a larger package for 2 months.
Yeah.
So 2 months is the time you have to wait if Kent Bazemore is ultimately moved. In some bigger deal, a Blake Griffin kind of whatever kind of big contract you have your dreamy Blazer eyes on. But other moves, of course, can be made in the meantime with your other players.
Yeah, I'm mentally ready. I'm not ready, but I'm mentally like preparing for them to not have Rodney Hood. I had actually held out hope, and I know it was kind of a pipe dream, that Hood and Cantor could return. By the way, for all the defensive naysayers of bringing in Kevin Love, I love that they're just totally cool with Enes Kanter because they saw him play in person.
It's like, right, right.
You know, like Swag and I disagree on Kevin Love, but like people are okay with Kanter coming back. It's like he was terrible, but I kind of don't think they're going to make another move. I think this is it. Yeah, I think they're going to go get a guy for the mid-level, and whether that's a backup or a backup point guard or not, we'll find out. Maybe they want Simons to have all these minutes. And you know what? I'm actually totally okay with it. If you want to go get a combo guard, like a vet combo guard out there, Keith Smith, who I had on while you were out the day before you got back, He covers the league in general. He wrote a thing over the weekend. There are going to be 200 free agents this year. There's not enough money for those guys to get signed.
Somebody eventually is going to take a cheap deal.
You're going to get guys on the vet minimums, and you're going to get guys to agree to the mid-level just because it'll be one more year that they can maybe go, all right, we proved ourselves. Give us a bigger contract. Don't forget what Casey Holdall said, that he doesn't think Seth Curry enjoyed his time here.
No.
That was eye-opening to me. And so while they might not be done getting a couple more guys in here, I think actually like a bigger move, I'm not so certain that that's really going to happen.
Yeah, it's hard to imagine them doing anything really significantly more unless the only thing I can think of is one of these teams that's trying to make a big move or trying to clear cap space to get Kawhi or KD or their 95% done, and at the last minute they realize, oh, that it doesn't, everything they've thrown into it, we need something else, and Olshay can take a phone call and maybe pick something off to help one of those major deals get done.
Mm-hmm.
That would be the surprise, and you're like, it probably won't be a veteran. It'll probably be maybe a draft pick that's from 2 or 3 years ago that had a lot of talent, but maybe couldn't get on. That's the only other thing I expect to maybe drop out of the sky. Otherwise, it's a veteran mid-level guy that didn't get a big deal in free agency, and here we go.
Can I read Evan Turner put an Instagram post out?
Sure.
I read it? So, Evan Turner. Blazers organization, thank you for allowing me to come to work in a positive environment. I was able to make a lot of bonds beyond basketball with the coaching staff and all the people behind the scenes. First-class place that will only keep reaping the benefits of good karma. Last but not least, thanks for the cheese.
God.
Thanks for agreeing to that dumb contract.
Hey, and you can't forget the hashtag. You can't forget that the hashtag at the end.
Naming my dog Neil.
Oh, God. That is fantastic.
If I'm going to miss anything about Evan Turner, it's going to be the personality.
The sense of humor was always
so good.
Was always on point. I'll never forget the story of him and his agent sitting around when Portland called up with the offer.
Yep.
And them just looking at each other like, wait, they offered what?
4 years, 70
Take
million.
The deal. Take it now. Sign it.
It was like Kramer with the cigarette company.
Deal. You're on, buddy. So Kent Bazemore is a Blazer, and we went through his numbers earlier. If you don't know much about Kent Bazemore, he's been in the league since 2012, bounced around a little initially, ended up going to Atlanta, had a couple of good years, and then signed an extension in the summer of 2016 as well, just like Evan Turner. So he is going into the final year of his deal. He makes about roughly, just to keep it simple, $1 million more than Evan Turner makes. So it's not a contract that's on the books for the long term. It's got one more year, just like Turner. You look at him last year, he was 11 points per game, 3.5 rebounds, 3.5 assists, shot 32% from three. But the year before, that's who the Blazers want out of Kent Bazemore, is he was 13 points per game, 39% from three. So nearly a 40% three-point shooter, and that's volume three-point shooting to him. And you're looking at attempting almost five a game. So that's a guy that shot a lot and was at a really good clip just 2 years ago. Now, the question I'll ask both of you, and I'll be curious your answer on it because it is an interesting one. Why does Atlanta make this trade?
Well, Atlanta has salary to fill, and they want their young guys to play a bunch of minutes, so they're going to play a couple of these vets.
But, I mean, you went basically salary for salary, saving $1 million.
Yeah, but Bazemore with the rotation, I think Evan Turner solves your backup point guard woes because I don't know who that is for Atlanta right now.
Just the role and the fits better.
Yeah, I just think it fits for him. Look, I don't think they care about winning games next year.
Yeah.
I mean, they didn't about it this year, and Trae Young ended up putting them on a nice little run there at the end of the year. I just think it's about fit more than anything else. And, again, you mentioned the contracts being basically the same. They got to pay all these vet guys anyway because they're not paying their young dudes for a couple more years. So, to me, it's just more about fit. Turner can rock that backup point guard role.
Well, and you talked about it. You got a lot of guys on that roster that now want to shoot. Bazemore's – I mean, if he's got rookies.
He's a shooter, yeah.
Bazemore wants to shoot.
He wants to shoot. So, if he's in there, he's not going to be distributing it. You got an Evan Turner guy that will look to set other guys up.
Yeah, he never looks to shoot.
Also –
rightfully so.
You know, the one thing Turner can do that a lot of these young wings have no clue is play with his back to the basket.
Yep.
Even though he's 6'6", but he's got girth and size and move. So, teams do need to have a guy that can go down on the block at some point. We see this in the playoffs, too, where you can force the defense to have to collapse and honor it at some point, whether he's passing out or whether he takes a shot himself.
He's a smart veteran who knows it's not about him. It's about getting guys like Young and Herter and DeAndre Hunter.
Cam Reddish.
Like, he knows, and I think that's what I appreciated so much about him in Portland, even though we obviously crapped on him all the time. He knew what his role was. Like, he never went outside of what he is because he knew whose team this was. And now he brings that to Atlanta. I mean, you take the Jason Quick piece about him. I thought that was one of the better pieces Quick wrote all year, and just what Turner would do behind the scenes and how big he was for the locker room. Hell, he orchestrated that Halloween costume night where they all showed up in different costumes and Dame was Stone Cold Steve Austin. Things like that. I also don't think we can overlook those things and how important that is to have a young team where now you have some veteran guys in that locker room. Allen Crabbe wants to shoot the ball and he wants to get another opportunity with the team. So he may not be the best example, but he's a quiet dude who I don't think is going to disrupt much. Evan Turner's a loud guy who also understands what his role and responsibility is going to be in Atlanta for this last year of his contract before he goes and tries to get another deal. So I think it's fit. I think it's what Swigard's saying. He's willing to put his back to the basket, give the ball up, get some looks for guys. And I think it's the locker room aspect with the team of so many young players.
Yeah. And I think the other main thing, too, is we've all kind of mentioned the Cam Reddish factor. I mean, he was, what, the 10th overall pick, I want to say, right? They got that's the same guy as Kent Bazemore. He's a small forward. You want him to get looks. You want him to get minutes. Like, that you're filling a slot there.
Well, and Evan was just with Dame and CJ for 3 years. He can tell you what he saw from those guys and pick apart little things and show it to these young players.
Yeah, so Portland picks up Kent Bazemore in a trade today for Evan Turner. We have a poll question on this. Just the opinion on the trade, your reaction to it, how you feel about it. I want to update those responses on the other side. Yours are welcome. 55305 is a better you today text line. The four options you have to vote on. As Evan Turner has been traded to Atlanta for Kent Bazemore. You love it, good move, meh, or dumb. About 500 votes in on that thing. We'll give you the responses on the other side. Also, an NBA star continuing to dispute rumors about him and his team and his co-star. We'll get to that coming up next as well. First Year Swag with SportsCenter.
Sometimes I feel like I don't have a partner.
You're listening to Dirt and Spray as Cooney Lexus of Portland presents the 7th Annual Fan Golf Classic at Langdon Farms Golf Club. Brought to you by Baseballism, by Pearl Vodka, 1-800-DIVORCE, Discount Windows, Laurelhurst Market, and by Big Fat Wieners. Dirt and Spray on 1080 The Fan.
Soccer shout-out coming up.
What, are we going to go 15 minutes with one shout-out?
Yeah, one shout-out, that's it.
Shout-out to the Women's World Cup team beating Spain.
We have a listener upset, so I'm going to read his tweet.
Okay.
Give him a shout-out, too. Shout them all out.
Like, what? Are, like, legit upset?
I don't know. I'll let you judge.
Did you retweet it yet?
No, I have not retweeted it.
Ah, very interesting to hear this tweet.
So we'll get to all that coming up here in a moment, and your reaction to the Kent Bazemore deal. I did just see two NBA notes that need to be discussed because these are funny.
Yep.
The Chris Paul stuff in Houston has been hilarious to watch.
You mean the 180 turnabout of, what are you talking about? I don't want to
be traded. What's going on here? He just did an interview with the Houston Chronicle where, of course, I think this happened when I was gone last week, where all the reports started to continue to come in, and him and Harden didn't talk. They hate each other. The relationship is beyond repair, and he has demanded a trade out of Houston.
Yeah.
Well, he sat down again, talked to the Houston Chronicle, said, I never asked for a trade. I never demanded a trade. I'll be in Houston. I'm happy about that. I'm very happy about that. I'm good.
Are you good with that breakup? Oh, I'm good with
it. I'm good. I'm happy.
I'm good with the breakup.
I'm perfectly happy.
You know what? I'm better off without her.
Like, what? By the way, did you see, so there's that sports parody account that I was talking about during the NBA Finals, like Barry McWhatever.
Yeah. Sports Talk Barry.
Yeah, Sports Talk Barry on Twitter, right?
Yep.
So he put something out and did like one of those fake tweets where he said the whole fight stemmed from Chris Paul making fun of James Harden's man boobs.
Yeah, made him cry.
Made him cry. Skip Bayless went on live television on The Undefeated and used that as a report.
He got got.
On Fox Sports 1. Now, we get got get got from time to time.
Yeah.
But I did enjoy that. So Skip Bayless got well, in that situation.
There's a difference between seeing something in the middle of a segment as you're trying to get as much info and somebody changes their Twitter handle to like Adrian Wojnarowski and seeing it and reading it real quick and then realizing very quickly after, oh my gosh, that's fake.
Chris Paul.
And then joking about how guys we got. And then a guy who's paid $6.5 to $7 million a year to prepare for a national TV show.
Man boobs.
And to not read somebody's account and go, who is this again? And click the account and find out, oh, it's a parody account. I shouldn't read this tweet. What an idiot.
He made fun of his man. I mean, hey, you make fun of my man boobs. That's a relationship breaker right there, man. I'm out of here, okay? I'm going to start crying. Are we buying Chris Paul?
No, not at all. No. Why would you buy this? This is like it's the same thing as the guy who gets dumped by the hot girl and tells you at the beginning of the sit-down hangout, oh, I'm cool with it, starts drinking, and then randomly in the middle of you guys talking about the golf game go, you know, I really am over her. Let me tell you.
No. I'm being serious.
And you're sitting there going, wow, we were talking about golf.
Yeah, no, we get
but
it.
But all
man.
Right, keep going. It. Yeah, it's the same thing. Nobody wanted his contract. That's the report that needs to be sticking here. Shams came out and said, look, Chris Paul knows nobody wanted that contract, so he came out and this is his counteract to it. What are you talking about? I didn't want to be traded. Because the last thing a guy like that wants is to know that he signed a contract and then everybody makes fun of him for that contract and that no team wants the contract. You don't want that on your legacy.
The funny thing about Houston, too, was they went from getting bounced by Golden State without Kevin Durant in Game 6 and reacting by saying essentially everybody on the roster's open. We're open for business. We're blowing this thing up. And then Durant continues to go down. We don't know where he's going to sign. And Klay Thompson tears his ACL. And now it's like, well, you know, maybe we'll hold on and see how next year goes.
Would you even trade Capella? Because I wouldn't.
No, you got to come. You got to bring
back.
That group
you
back.
You bring it all back. Like, and you say, look, we weren't great, but we can get it done.
You know, I know the Lakers got Anthony Davis. That's awesome. That is a three-man team right now. They have nothing else on that roster.
Right.
So it's a very fearful twosome and plus one. With Kuzma, but we don't know what the rest of the roster is going to look like. We don't know if they're going to stay healthy. Like, there's still a lot of question marks about all the other teams. Houston, at this point, has to be the front runner in the West.
Well, I was going to say, even with all the behind-the-scenes drama, we've seen teams operate with this and still succeed, right? Draymond and KD are an example. If KD doesn't go down, they win the title.
Right.
Draymond called him a bitch this year. Like
he did.
You can have bad stuff go on and get over it and still win. If they bring everything back, who is the favorite in the West? Wouldn't you put them up there?
I would put them right there, yeah.
If Golden State didn't exist as they're currently constructed, who beats them the last 2 years? Because they had a 3-2 lead in the West Finals 2 years ago.
Yeah, nobody 2 years ago. And then,
right, and I don't think anybody beats them this year. Blazer fan might disagree with me on that. I just think nobody's able to beat that team. So what are you looking at here? You're reacting because you couldn't beat the greatest team assembled in the last 20-plus years, and you want to blow it up instead of going, oh, maybe we should remain patient for another year.
See what happens.
And see what happens.
Yeah, so I saw that from Paul. I thought that was pretty funny. The other one, and we're going to continue to track and see where their free agents go. What Boston does is going to be fascinating because they had, really it felt like the NBA by the balls, and it felt like they were the team that nobody was going to be able to touch. And look at all these pieces. They got Kyrie Irving, signed Horford, you signed Hayward. And now it looks like Horford's leaving and Kyrie Irving's leaving. Well, Danny Ainge did a press conference today, like most teams did, introducing their new rookies. And get this. So reporters were asking him, you know, what's it like working with rookies and these new guys? Are you excited about this? Danny Ainge responded, the GM of the Celtics, I think it makes life more enjoyable when everybody's humble, hardworking, and will play any role they have to help the team succeed.
Bang, bang.
You don't have to have a certain amount of talent to win in our league, as we all know, but good people makes coming to work more fun. Looking at you, Kyrie Irving. Looking at you. I love that subtle shot of, dude, you were the biggest pain in the ass for a year and a half, and it was never – I mean, they won that trade because Isaiah Thomas is a shell of his former self, but that sounds like a GM that's excited to get rid of the headache that is Kyrie Irving.
The other can we also acknowledge, like, they won the trade in what way? I've loved
slightly better than
Cleveland went to the finals 2 years ago. They didn't do it with Kyrie in year one. He went down. They didn't do jack squat year two. Like, I get it. I get that Kyrie's better than IT. I get that Kyrie is maybe long-term the better deal here. But this whole notion of, like, they won the trade, based on what metric?
It's just simply that Kyrie Irving's a better player than Isaiah Thomas.
Shoot. That's not a reason
but
to me. You say somebody won a trade. Look,
I know
what you're doing.
That's a fact. He's a better player than
right,
Isaiah Thomas.
Right, and I don't disagree with you. But, like, you didn't win at a higher clip, right? So, I don't know. The Boston situation's been real interesting to me of what's come out of that, where players are moving now, and what Danny Ainge is really aiming to do. They have a max slot, by the way. They're going to be able to sign somebody. And whether that means they go sign somebody at a ridiculous number to just say, oh, we've got somebody, I don't know. But ultimately, Boston remains one of the more interesting places because Jason Tatum may take that next step this year, and maybe he becomes at the forefront of this guy who can carry a team.
Does Kemba Walker fit with the Celtics?
I think Kemba fits great. That's the thing, Swag. I think this whole Boston thing, like, people want to proclaim them dead and done. I just think that's a bad mistake. Jaylen Brown came on really well those last 3 months of the season, and Tatum wasn't perfect this year, but he learned from it. And so they may lose Horford. They're probably going to lose Kyrie. This idea that, like, they're still, like, they're done? Man, you get a Kemba in there or – I don't know, fill in the blank of that right name, they have a chance to be right there in the top four in the East, right back again next year.
Yeah, their standing in the East, I think, is going to depend on Kawhi Leonard and if he leaves Toronto, because I think they just won the title. So if Kawhi
right.
Leonard comes back to Toronto, they're clearly still the front-running team. And then obviously what one of those other wild cards is going to do in free agency, like the Knicks or like the Nets, to maybe jump over if you go out and sign a couple of guys. The East, and I said this earlier, though, and I truly – like, what's Philly going to look like next year if Harris and Butler both walk?
Well, you know what's funny? I should have brought this up earlier. I just remembered it. You mentioned what did the White Sox do and what are the Nets doing?
Signing friends.
Did you see what Philly did? They have signed Tobias Harris' little brother to their G League affiliate.
Oh, God, that's the route they're going?
Yeah.
That's the route
they're
going.
Failure. But in your scenario, you're right. Like, what if you lose Harris,
like,
and Butler?
Milwaukee could conceivably lose Middleton.
Yeah,
like,
he's unrestricted.
If somebody throws a massive contract at him, they're strapped financially. They just signed Bledsoe. I mean, they could lose. Mirotić is a free agent. Lopez is a free agent. Middleton's a free agent.
Yep.
Like, this notion that the East is going to be stacked again next year, it might end up being, and guys end up kind of staying put. Maybe one other team crops up as well, but there is major question marks for all four of the teams that we looked at as the upper echelon teams in the East last year.
Oh, yeah, the movement is going to really dictate, and that, I know it's Captain Obvious thing to say, but that movement in the East and even guys that go to the West is going to change the dynamic of everything. I mean, we're talking about moves that could impact the league for the next 4 to 5 years. You know, very similar to when the Warriors began their run. They win, they come out, they're a surprise team, they maybe win it a year before they should because of injuries with Cleveland. Well, boom, that turns into a 5-year dynasty run for the Warriors, who win 3 championships in it. Little movement, big movement, there's going to be a ton of it this summer, and I think the way it's going right now, it really could dictate and shape the way the league looks for the next 4 to 5 years. And I think that's why it's that much more important, in my opinion, for Portland to make the necessary move to win a championship this year, because you don't know what's going to be set up in the East. You don't know who's going to be set up in the West to really take shape and maybe have a stranglehold on the league. You don't know what that next dynasty is going to be or when it's going to be here.
Yeah, so Chris Paul says, no, I don't want to go anywhere. This is where I want to be, in Houston. And Danny Ainge takes a couple of shots at Kyrie Irving, saying rookies are fun to be around and to work with because they enjoy coming to work every day. And they work hard and do what the team needs in order to be successful. We'll update the poll question on Kent Bazemore, the acquisition Portland made today. We'll get to that coming up next.
I want to know this angry tweet.
We have an angry tweet. I'm going to read that and a soccer shout-out. All of that in the final segment next on The Fan.
You're listening to Dirt and Sprague as Cooney Lexus of Portland presents the 7th Annual Fan Golf Classic at Langdon Farms Golf Club. Brought to you by Encore Audio Video, Warren Allen Attorneys at Law, United Cerebral Palsy of Oregon, by Vicasa, the Children's Course, and by 808. Dirt and Sprague on 1080 The Fan.
Yeah, did you see the Warriors found the Klay Thompson replacement today?
I forget. Yeah, there's a move I saw earlier.
Did,
oh, yeah, I did.
Yeah.
The Jimmer.
The Jimmer's going to Golden State, baby.
Yeah.
There you go.
Well, Summer League team. He's not actually signed on the actual
Summer
roster.
Summer League. And then he'll get there.
So. Let me ask you this. Would you say Jimmer Fredette's lived a great professional basketball career?
In terms of just like other basketball careers?
I don't know enough about how much. Where's he been?
China. He averaged
China.
Like 40 points plus per game in China.
I don't know why more guys just don't stay over there.
Well, the money could suck, and you have to live in China. You ever been to China?
I bet he made decent money though.
Their orange chicken isn't Panda Express orange chicken.
Yeah, it's the real stuff.
No, that doesn't mean it's better.
It's the authentic orange chicken.
Sometimes authentic is worse. You know what I mean? Like the GMOs and the hormones that
Taco
we pump
Bell's
into things.
Totally better than authentic Mexican food.
You're going extreme here. I'm just saying.
The Jimmer's going to Golden State. That happened. I saw this tweet. This is from Ben. Ben's one of our P1s. He tweets us from time to time.
What's his Twitter handle? Which one? Which Ben?
Reed the Phoenix.
Okay. Not familiar with that one.
So he tweeted. I said, went to the Timbers game last night. Packed with 25,000 plus after an $85 million renovation. Timbers won 4-0 in a crazy environment.
Yeah.
I haven't heard a peep from you guys. They're a major sports team in your town. The stadium is packed every game. The team is quality, as it's brought the only championship to the city within the last 5 years. They deserve more love than you're giving.
So Timber guys dissing Thorns fan? Thorns have one, too.
Oh. Oh,
yeah.
Controversial.
Also, they sell out when they have games.
Also, there's three Thorns on the current women's national team.
Yep.
Ooh.
Three or four.
Yep.
Ooh.
One of them scored a goal in their first match.
Well, there's, yeah. Yes. Tobin Heath, Lindsay Horan.
Yep.
I think there's other Thorns on the Canadian team.
Yep.
Sorry.
To that, I would say, Ben.
Never apologize, Swigard.
Look. I just don't want to talk about something I don't know about. Would you want me to butcher the Timbers for you?
I know their new guy scored a couple of goals, right? Was their new
Brian
guy?
Brian Fernandez.
Dude, he had the sickest goal I've ever seen in my life. He had a bicycle kick against the Galaxy.
Yeah.
FC team.
LAFC,
I will say this, too. I feel like in the last month we have talked more Timbers than we have in the entire longevity of the show.
It's AA soccer. Do we talk AA baseball? Just appreciate it and love it. And one day it'll be Premier League. One day. But right now, it's like AA.
Yeah. Just shout out Timbers. There you go.
There you go.
There's no disrespect.
Congratulations to Diego Chara, named to the MLS All-Star team. He'll be part of the reserves, so he will represent the Timbers.
Okay.
Is that All-Star team like all MLS players, or don't they mix it up with like world guys?
So there's an MLS side. They will take on Atletico Madrid from La Liga.
Oh, that's one of my favorite teams.
That'll be the All-Star game July 31st
Atletico.
In Orlando.
We should shout out, though, the real soccer story, and that is that the ladies won today, 2-1. They got two penalty kicks, correct me if I'm wrong.
Megan Rapinoe, former Portland Pilots.
You mean the better soccer players won?
Yes, they did. they won. They beat Spain.
Suck on that one, Spain.
And now they're going to play France.
Yes.
Yeah, this is going to be the match everybody was hoping to see further down the road.
Yeah.
But
the host nation.
Host nation.
Nah, that doesn't mean anything.
They get after it. They play as fast, maybe a little faster than the Americans. So
Swag, what's the French word for no?
I don't... It's just an emoji of a white flag.
Oh.
It's in Nomas.
Oh,
wow.
Oh, my God.
Wow. You took that to.
Dude, I just watched you murder the French right here at Langdon Farms.
That just happened, man. That just happened.
Wow. that was a great response. That might be your all-time response. What's the word for no in French? The white flag.
Do we have to call them the Freedom Fries for the next couple of days?
The Freedom Fries. I'm cool with that.
For the next Wednesday. The game's on the 28th, right?
Friday, I believe.
I'm totally open to creating beef with other nations over this stuff.
Okay.
Let's do it.
Yeah, Friday the 28th. That's when the game is going to be.
So if we beat the French team, we're going to win the World Cup, right? Isn't that how it's boiling down?
Well, the Americans were the favorites.
Yeah.
There's a couple other good sides. England's got a good side. Germany's got a good side. Mm. So it's not a cakewalk at that point. But a lot of people feel French playing at home I think the match is in Paris, but I'm not positive. So.
You know, I got to say one more time, we can't win in this situation. If we don't talk Timbers, we get complaints that we're not talking Timbers. If we talk Timbers, we get complaints that we don't follow it enough and know enough to be talking Timbers.
It's the third rail of sports radio.
God, what do I do here? I don't know.
You can't please everybody.
No, I've been to two games, matches, what have you. They're fun. I got drunk at both of them. I'm like chanting. I don't know what I'm chanting.
The stadium looks fantastic.
It is. It's beautiful. It's gorgeous.
It's a great environment. I didn't know that the place could get louder, but with building that up, it's just a cauldron of sound.
Yeah, and it was great that they scored a few goals when I was there. I think it sucked was I think the Army got neutralized because their goaltender threw the ball right to them in the first 3 minutes, and they were down 1-0.
Yeah, the LAFC.
Yeah, LAFC
on the goal kick. That was
Dirt's so uncomfortable with it. He's not even chiming in.
I have nothing to add to this comment.
He's never been to a match.
No, I didn't watch that.
Last time he was at Providence Park, the Beavers were playing there.
Damn right.
And not Oregon State.
Dollar beers, baby. Hey, by the way, shout out to your Beavs on a nice little recruiting weekend.
Wow. I want to put this for the record. I put that in the show email as a segment. Dirt threw it in there for a one-minute reaction.
You get a shout-out. Nice shout-out.
Number one, JC,
Number
defensive
one,
end.
JC. Yeah. There you go.
6'4", 275.
Yeah, we got two in the top three, I think, don't we?
Yeah. Beav fans getting all excited. Huh?
Yeah. I'm jacked.
That's good news. No, I like that. We should do a little recruiting later in the week, see if it continues. He's on – no, I mean, they're on a hot streak right now.
Yeah, we'll see if they can do anything else.
I can't win here.
That's how I feel about the Timbers.
Somebody said – where did it go? Damn it, I lost it. I have a French rifle for sale, dropped once, never fired. So, we're amping up the trash talk today.
Dude, let's get the French jokes rolling.
Just keep them coming, people. They play on Friday. Were the penalties controversial, or was it a clean win in terms of controversy today?
What are you talking about?
Because aren't penalty kicks sometimes controversial?
I saw the first one, and it was clear. Tobin Heath had beaten the defender, played the ball. Ball was past her. She was best. She got stamped on. It was a clear penalty.
Okay.
I did not see the second one. We were out here getting set up. But the
first one. Because those can be controversial sometimes, right? Awarding a penalty kick in those situations.
It was the match yesterday, and I can't remember. Oh, it was Brazil. And who was playing Brazil? I can't remember now.
Are you guys fans of all white cars?
No. Dirt's trying to have, regular conversation.
I'm trying to do a soccer segment here. Well, I'm just please the people.
I'm looking and like, Cooney, Alexis of Portland, we love you. They're all white cars, and I thought, would I ever want a white car?
What's VAR stand for?
Video assist referee. That's what they call video review.
That's what they call it, really?
Yes.
Yeah.
The video assist referee.
Yes.
My mom had a white car once, and she always had dirt stains on the side. She could never get them off.
I take offense to that.
Well, that's stupid. I'm just not in on the white car.
Hey, we had a poll question today.
I think it's like white pants.
Traded Evan Turner. Evan Turner for Kent Bazemore. Do you like the move? Do you love the move? Do you hate the move? 47% of people say good move.
I hate how much I love that it was a good move.
23% of people love it.
Okay.
28% of people, and then 2% of you hate – this is a dumb
22%?
Move. 2%?
2%.
2% claim dumb move. Dumb move for the Portland Trailblazers.
Oh, I love dumb move guy. Please tell me more about the NBA dumb move guy.
Dumb move, according to two of you. So there you go.
Yeah.
There you go. There's your poll results for the day. Got soccer in. We talk golf. Fit it all in. And we started.
I'm kind of waiting for the music to start because at this point, I think we're supposed to X.
I'm out of gas. We also started with claiming this was the sixth annual. It's not the sixth
annual. Seventh.
This is a seventh annual Fan Golf Classic.
Yeah, man. Dirt screwed that up earlier. It was pretty funny.
It was all Sprague. We've been doing this for a long time. And thank you to everybody who stopped by and said hello today, dropped off some wonderful treats.
Thank you for anybody listening anytime. Even the Timbers fans who hate that we don't talk enough Timbers.
We love you.
I still love you. And I love that you love the Timbers.
We love you.
Yeah.
Well, we're golfing in the morning tomorrow, so it's going to get interesting.
Dude, we're going to win.
It always does.
I can feel it in my bones.
Cam Cleland will say we're cheating again, but he's just jealous because he's not as good as we are. Hope everybody has a great
Cam's
Monday night.
Cam's just going to murder you one day with a driver.
Hope everybody has a great Monday night.
Thank you to the fine folks at Langdon Farms for hosting us today and tomorrow. Awesome time out here. We'll see you tomorrow. I'll talk to you at noon. Number One's next, listening to 1080 The Fan.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.